Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Old Moon Podcast, episode 84. And that is correct because
I saw it
when I looked at the notes a moment ago. I'm good.
You read it
also,
this time.
Somebody
Let's
in
go.
Chat earlier reminded me earlier today. They were like, "Which episode number is it?" I was like, "83." I was like, "Wait, no, it was 83 last week, so it's probably 84." Like, oh my god, I'm gaming. Anyway, I'm getting there. I'm learning. I'm Blue Squadron, one of your hosts as usual, joined by my normal co-hosts, Jaycoon VT.
V before the T, hi. I do a lot of endgame content, such as Olin's, Golden Pig Cave, Ash Forest. I recently hosted a voice acting competition called Tales of the Adventurers on Monday, and I just finished editing and uploading that video to my channel at youtube.com/JaycoonVT, V before the T. It's a chonky 2 hours of content if you guys want to check it out, and I want to host more of these community events in the future, and you can find me live over at twitch.tv/JaycoonVT, V before the T.
Right on. And my boy Blonde, where can they find you? In what game are you playing? I'm just kidding. Don't say that. But give yourself an intro.
If and when I do stream, you can catch me at twitch.tv/blondebear if I do that anymore.
If I do that.
Why are you not streaming anymore, Blonde? We love you.
It's a RuneScape thing. You wouldn't understand.
That is... absolutely brutal to hear. I'm going to be honest. Now, we have a special guest on the podcast with us, which has actually been a regular thing now. I think it has really spiced up the podcast. A big shout out to all three of us for equally contributing to who we're going to bring on the podcast. Right, guys? Really, it's Jay. Jay carries us. Anyway, this week, we have a fantastic guest. His name, as many Awakening Valkyries in the community can attest to, is Canadian Corgi. Corgi, you want to give yourself an intro?
Hello, I'm Canadian Corgi, GM of Pekko. I stream every day except Saturday.
Wait, you're the GM of Pekko?
Yeah.
I did not actually know that. Wait, that's crazy. Oh, dude, now we're going to... Okay. Yes, guys, go follow Canadian Corgi. He's absolutely a unit. But okay, all right, first thing. And then Jay's like, immediately, all of my work is for nothing, because here he goes off on his first tangent. Like, straight up, let's talk about Pekko first. Let's talk about Pekko. Pekko originally... was a guild for Super Omega Ultra Giga Weebs. It was not originally called Pekko. It was called something else back in the day, and it was led by somebody different. Tocab. Was it Tocab? I'm pretty sure it was Tocab. Maybe I'm remembering it wrong. Yeah,
Primrose
Tocab.
Original
so
name.
I remember, again, it was like this super anime weeb guild, like waifu, like everybody was like a femboy. Like crazy community. It was so cool. It is a great T1 guild, super strong T1 guild, and they were just figuring out life, man. It was great. I was the first person to introduce them, the waifu bot, back in the day, into their Discord. Anyway, the waifu bot was added to the Discord, and people literally were leaving the guild because they raged out over somebody else getting their waifu in the waifu bot. It was literally crazy. It is insane. What? But Pekko has got... No, it's just absolutely wild. Anyway, eventually the guild was renamed. Now it's Pekko. But at the end of the day, that guild has come a really long way to being a very, very strong PvP guild on our current PvP scene. So you being a GM, you took the red. I call that taking the black, like in a Game of Thrones. You will have no wife, you will have no life. The guild is your priority in every aspect of your life. It's kind of hard to carry the red border, especially for a siege guild, especially for a PvP guild in BDO. So how long have you been GM of Pekko? Do you enjoy being a GM?
About half a year now, and no, I hate it.
Yep. That sounds about right. What do you hate? Okay. What do you like so much about it that keeps you doing it? Because I think I already know the answer to this question. And if it's different, I'll share my experience, but I'm fairly certain you'll be able to express the same thing. What do you like so much about it that keeps you doing it? Number one. And number two, what do you hate so much about it?
I just, honestly, I can't really name anything positive about it, but I just run it for my friends.
That is
powerful.
It's like a full-time. It's like being full-time babysitting a bunch of babies.
So based. So true. So just exactly so true. See, you don't like the job. And that's who the best GMs are. That's the person you want in charge of your guild. If ever, guys, you end up joining a BDO guild with somebody that like likes being GM and is like in charge, because they like the power that goes into GM, you're in the wrong guild. The best GMs in the history of the game were people that never wanted that authority or power or whatever in the first place, but it was thrust upon them because no one else would do it, and they just wanted to have their homies have a good time. Because as a GM, it is your everyone else's like value and how much fun they're having with the game is reflected in how much work you put into the game. So if you put a lot of work into the game as a GM, all of your friends will have more fun. And that is the redeeming part of being GM, is when everybody has a good time. And to be clear, no one is going to give you the credit. No one is going to give you credit when they have a great fight, when they have a good time in the guild, or like an HR issue is handled and somebody is kicked from the guild or whatever. They are never going to tell you, hey, man, thanks for doing what you're doing. Thanks for doing the 50 hours of politics this week that it took to get ready for Siege or Node Wars or set that fight up in the first place. No. But when things go wrong, everything is your fault. The only thing that you really gather as a GM is really just the feels good thing of like, yep, everybody had a better time because I did my job. That's really what you live on. It is, honestly, if you're going to do a PvP guild in BDO, depending on if you're doing Siege or not, it's a full-time job that you're not getting paid for. When he said HR issues, he wasn't joking. That's how I know he already knows. People say, you have HR issues in guilds? LOL, you have no idea how bad some of these HR issues get, man. Like, bro, people complain about all sorts of things. I remember when I was a GM, I used to literally have to pull people. Everyone would be like, that was an offensive joke. I was offended by what he said in voice the other day. So, okay, all right. So then the guy would have to join voice. I'm like, hey, can I talk to you for a minute? They're like, oh. So you pull him off to the side. You're like, hey, man, I thought it was funny, but there were people that didn't think it was funny, so you can't say that anywhere. You know what I mean? Like, and usually the HR issues are much more complicated than that. But like, honestly, it's from the most petty shit to the most real shit that goes on in every guild. It's extremely difficult to run your guild, but I'm actually intrigued now. Corgi, you do Node Wars and Siege every week. Also now Guild League, which honestly, we'll talk about Guild League. That's the best, in my opinion, the best form of PvP in BDO is currently Guild League. Would you agree with that in your opinion, A? And B, what do you think the meta feels like for Guild League as well?
So the original question was, do I think G League is the best form of PvP at the moment?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, yes.
There it is. Yep. There it is. Okay, yeah. And what is the metagame like in Guild League right now?
Right now, I've been asking around a lot, but right now for NA specifically, the meta is like one or two DP memes and everyone else is either an iframe DPSer or a DPSer that's really hard to catch. And two shots, of course.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, naturally. What are the most popular classes, do you think? I assume the DP memes are playing like Striker, Mystic, or Berserker?
Yeah, Striker, Mystic, or Zerk. Mm-hmm. And the most popular DPSers right now are Deadeye, Dosa, and Sork, off the top of my head.
Yeah, Awakening Dosa, right?
Both specs are really good right now.
Yeah, no, Awakening Dosa gives those buffs, I think, that are like giga powerful, and especially in a format like Guild League. How many shies do you normally bring to Guild League?
Minimum two. Actually, minimum and maximum two for NA, I find works the best.
Okay, so minimum and maximum, at least two shies, basically. Yeah. So, all right, and what do you feel like the metagame is for large-scale PvP, and like how is it different than Guild League? Like, what's the meta
for
feel
large
like
large-scale?
Right,
I'd say Dosa is still the best for large scale.
In terms of DPS, sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Zerk and Valk fell off a little bit, but they're still really, really good for large scale. Same with Sork. Well, actually, Sork's always been top tier, but you don't see many of them nowadays.
It's because NA sucks at Sork.
Sage is making a really, really like strong FODM occurrence because of the recent buffs.
True. Is it Awakening Sage, I assume, or Succession?
Yeah, Awakening Sage.
Yeah, Awakening's really powerful, in my opinion. I was told, Corgi, that it's a really, like, in uncapped PvP, so most of the Node Wars that Pekko does are probably capped, because you probably don't want to get farmed by Digi. Uncapped PvP is, it's a little rough if everybody in your guild is not 790 year score, right? But I heard that the metagame in uncapped PvP is extremely horrible right now. And that's why I asked about the Guild League meta, because Guild League is uncapped PvP. I heard that you have people that are subbing out some of their crystals, like their Karazhan crystals, for like DR or evasion crystals, and it's making them impossibly tanky, but they still do a fair amount of damage as well. Is that something that you've experienced here in NA? Or is that not as much of a problem as I've been led to believe?
I can't say for sure, because I don't know other people's builds, but mostly everyone in Pekko runs glass. I'm the only one that runs DP.
Okay, yeah. In fairness, again, Pekko, y'all are full of a bunch of degenerates who just want to do damage. Like, that's...
Yeah.
Everybody wants... It's like family. Nobody in family cares. Like, they just want to deal a bunch of damage.
Have you done any Node Wars recently?
No. Why? Because it's dead.
We get invited here and there for, like, I'm surprised we get invited, to be honest, but mm-hmm. that's a different story. But when we do get invited, right now, every guild weaker than, like, the first and second seeded, mm-hmm. they just horse in and zombie the base with full DP builds. It is awful.
Where was this on the podcast? Wait, what the f***? I asked... God damn it, Corgi. I literally asked, are DP memes a problem in large scale PvP? And you were like, and I quote, edited in. I don't really feel like it's that big of a deal for us in Pekko, to be honest with you. So you're just farming me, bro. He's actually farmed me.
I forgot about it until we brought up Node Wars.
God damn.
Because we don't get invited to Node Wars.
Like... Yeah, so what you're telling me is that they will just go full DP meme and they'll just horse in and blast the fort down and they're like unkillable.
Not necessarily blasted because they're full DP, but like most of these guilds have the mindset where winning equals fun rather than ball fight versus ball fight equals fun.
Mm-hmm. Well, they can't win ball fight versus ball fight because the gap between the first two seeded guilds and the third and fourth seeded guilds is way too large.
Yeah, so they're just full DP horsing in.
I still understand what it's like. So for chat, let me explain it so that chat understands, because I'm sure a lot of them don't do large-scale PvP. So chat, usually what our PvP scene does, and Corgi, correct me if any of this is wrong, usually what our PvP scene does when they want to set up a fight and do Node Wars, there's usually like one setup fight a night, maybe one setup fight every other night, because there's just so few guilds. It's usually the same guilds every time, because like there's just not enough PvP guilds. That being said, let's say that all four guilds are rank 1, 2, 3, and 4, and like so if I say the number one guild, that's the strongest guild on the node, and if I say the number four guild, that would be the weakest guild on the node. We will intentionally set the fight up so 1 and 4 are together and 2 and 3 are together, so that it is as close as possible. And both teams have a chance of winning. What Corgi is saying is that guilds 3 and 4, or like the two bottom tier guilds on both teams, are so far behind guilds 1 and 2, like they legitimately cannot fight those guilds. Like if they were to clash, like both guilds were to clash, it would just be a steamroll one way. And so what these lower guilds have decided is they're like, it, everybody put on DP gear and we're just gonna horse into the fort, and we are just gonna run stuff down. We're just going to run it down, and it'll take them a long time to kill us, but we will get objective damage done on the fort, and it'll feel better than just getting run down in the open field on repeat. That has only been made possible because the developers are stupid and gave us these wonderful crystals at the bottom here. Everybody praised them for the Karazhan design. Oh my God, it's the best design. So much build diversity. There's so many people said that when it came out. I was like, I don't know about this, man. Like, it's only a little bit more build diversity. And instead, if you take one of these AP crystals out of your gear, or even two or three, instead you can put in the DR or evasion crystals, and suddenly you are wildly more tanky. Like, you just, you have basically the full deep maximum DP meme build. And you just put full damage, crystals on with full DP setup here, and you will do damage to structures. You won't kill other people, but you'll kill structures really quickly because they can't figure out structure damage in the game. So they have crafted this metagame where it is now just a front line. Everyone else, it is a front line. We're going to go full tank, and no one, if we don't get to have fun, No one does, which is the most PvP mentality I have ever seen in my life. Okay, it's kind of like when they used to call Cho Nation to a GVG. Like, you'd be GVG in some other guild, and the other guild would call Cho, like Pekko calls Cho Nation to a fight. Like, hey, we need help. So Root says, okay, fine. You sound the Cho alarm. All of Cho shows up, and the other guild leaves. And then Cho Nation turns around and says, you are going to get farmed. Because you're going to pay the iron price. Like, someone here is getting farmed. If we don't get to have fun, no one does. And someone is going to get farmed. It's the most PvP thing I've ever seen. Okay, so it's tough to say as far as, like, the high end goes. I guess we could interview someone from Digi or someone. But there's not really very much high end PvP. And if you're not experienced, or I mean, like, uncapped PvP, and if you are not experiencing it in Guild League, it's probably not as big of a problem as maybe I was led to believe here. But overall, you said that Valkyrie, a lot of people, Corgi, know you for your Valkyrie play. And to be clear, we've had a lot of great Valkyries in the community that no longer play the game at all. So we started with, you go way back, you have Amu, there's Raiden, and then there's you, obviously, and there's like two or three other Valkyries that are just really, really exceptional, at least in North America. EU has their own subset of Valkyries that are very, very good. But as far as the NA Valkyries, you're currently, in my opinion, the best North American Valkyrie, and you happen to be streaming and everything as well. Honestly, it's not an opinion. I think you were rank 1 in Guild League 2. I mean, in AOS as well. But, like, in your opinion, what is Valkyrie in a good, is Awakening Valkyrie in a good spot in PvE, PvP, small scale, large scale? Because she used to be the queen of all types of, like, group PvP, especially small scale. Awakening Valkyrie really succeeds. What do you think has kind of happened to the class in the last year or so? You think it's better or worse than it kind of was a year ago? Like, where do you think the class kind of sits now?
For grinding, it's really, really, really strong at the moment, but it takes a lot of effort. For all forms of PvP, I think she's still very, very, very strong, but not meta, if that makes sense. Because, like, there's a lot of classes that can do what she can do now, but just be better at it.
Okay, and what... No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, what were you saying? Sorry?
Yeah, well, I was going to ask to elaborate very quickly on the PvE. You said it's really strong in PvE. Is that only, like, are you just talking about, like, high-end spots, like Darkseekers and, like, Golden Pit Cave and stuff?
Yes. Okay. For example, I don't know if you know who Ronnie BDO is, but he pulls upwards of 40k regularly at Darkseekers.
Holy! Okay, yeah, wait. Okay, nerf it. Exposed? What? Holy crap. And how much
asked
are you?
Why I think most Valks are leaving, or?
Yes. Like, there's almost no one is playing Awakening Valkyrie anymore when you compare it to, like, a year to 2 years ago. Like, there used to be a huge community for Awakening Valkyrie, and they were, like, super welcoming and all this stuff. And now, I mean, I feel like you guys are down bad at the moment. There's almost no one left.
There's a couple of issues with Valk. Right now, a couple of her skills are bugged, which makes the class, like, feel awful to play at the moment. And it's been that way since the hit changes. You remember right after the spec EV changes, they lowered all the hits on the skills?
Yeah, I remember.
Basically, all of her skills come out slower now, including her C swap, so it's not as smooth.
Oh, wow.
And
okay. Yeah, a lot of Valkyries. I heard from Champion Jason and a number of other Valkyries that I know, like Lane Kiffin and stuff, that they kind of killed the cancels and, like, the feel of the class and why they love the class so much in the first place. But, like, the class is still really good, but they just don't jive with it anymore. It's kind of like, honestly, I feel like Awakening Novas are kind of going through the same thing right now.
Yeah, exactly, like Awakening Nova. They just broke all the cancels and made it slower.
Yeah. So honestly, if we pivot this over, because Blonde and Jay haven't gotten to talk too much quite yet.
Hi
guys.
Hi.
Jay plays Woosa and Blonde plays AFK Fishing Sim. You know what? He doesn't even AFK Fish. Who are we talking about? Anyway, Blonde plays Berserker and Scholar. Do you feel that those classes' identities or, like, their cancels and stuff have changed in the last years? Do you think that your class, you rewind 1 year, is your class in a better spot today than it was back then? In PvE and PvP, we'll start with Jay.
For the most part, Woosa has been fairly mechanically the same in both Succession and Awakening. I wouldn't really call them meta now, like currently. I mean, before in PvE, she was considered up there until they had like nerfed her a bit. And then, you know, the time caught up where other classes got buffed. Now she's kind of like in an okay spot now, even after the changes. And so mechanically, she's about the same. I think that Succession still has the better like PvP kit overall, especially with like the reflect mechanic. I've seen some really crazy like clips of people utilizing that like very effectively, but at the same time, it's very difficult to pull off for that reflect mechanic. But if you can pull it off, like you can get those like big feeds with the 10,000 damage reflects, right, and stuff like that. For Awakening Wusa, they added this new mechanic where you could detonate the flowers on demand. That they added that 2 weeks ago with the buffs, but they put it on a very awkward skill to use. They put it on Shift F, which is called Moonlit Blast. It takes like 2 seconds to cast, and so by the time you set up all your flowers and you cast that spell, your flowers would have exploded already. It's also a melee skill. You have to be on top of your flowers to detonate them on demand, and Awakening Wusa is a range damage dealer. So for us to be able to shoot our long range flowers and jump in to detonate it manually seems very counterintuitive to the kind of identity of the class of being a ranged damage dealer. And so I think the idea was an interesting concept for her in order to make her more, appealing to use in the for her like flower explosion, that sort of timed delayed burst. But I think the execution of it, like the idea, was not the best due to like the skill they put it on. It was not the most responsive skill. So I think the like in terms of direction, it's getting there. They just need to put it on a better skill. And I'm hoping that maybe the feedback, they were accepting some Wusa feedback recently on the class hub Discord. I don't know if anybody's on that class hub Discord, but I'm hoping that, you know, those ideas that a lot of the Wusas have put together come to fruition, et cetera, et cetera. And so, yeah, that's kind of like where Wusa is right now in PvP. Not really meta, but
yeah, I would say
have a lot of fun with it.
I would say Succession Wusa, we used to see as far as PvP goes, and Corgi, you should correct me if I'm wrong here. We used to see a way more suck Wusas the last time Guild League was a thing. And then, again, it's kind of declined. Like, the first time Guild League was a thing, Wusa was like the S tier. That was the class that you played for DPS, like suck Wusa. And then, like, the second time Guild League was a thing, it was still good, but it wasn't like, oh my god, OP. And now I feel like we don't see any Wusas at all anymore. And Awakening, like Jay said, is not super metagame, but I also don't think they're necessarily bad. I just don't think that they're really on the level that some of the other DPS classes in the game kind of feel in PvP right now. Corgi, would you kind of agree with that assessment, or do you disagree?
Nope, you're correct. Wusa is not in the spotlight anymore.
Yeah, okay, all right, just making sure. Now, Blonde, Berserker, this is a tough question for you, and Scholar. Okay, 1 year ago, do you feel like the class was better or worse in PvE? Do you think it was more approachable? Do you think there's more people playing the class, less, or kind of the same? And do you think that there's been any changes to the class that you just really haven't liked or jived with?
When it comes to Zerker, I feel like it used to be way better. And now it's more balanced because they've like made it use stamina, which wasn't a thing before. So that was kind of like annoying, but I'd say it's more balanced. Is it better or worse than PvE? I mean, like, we had some updates and stuff, but it hasn't felt crazy. I haven't felt like a tremendous increase on Zerk or anything. It feels all right. It's not like crazy good, but it's not crazy bad. It's the chill AFK don't take damage grinder at the cost of like maybe doing really good trash. You're, you know, taking a lot of this damage and you're more tanky. But change wise, I feel like I think that's like what changed over the last year was the stamina changes, then some sort of number changes that doesn't really feel significant. So I feel like Zerker's like okay, it's like worse than the fact that you have to do stamina, but like that's balanced, so I think it's fair. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I haven't really touched Scholar too much. I played it for like literally like an hour or so. I haven't really messed with it. I have been playing Dosa. That's what I was primarily playing. Dosa just feels like, again, it was like sort of like Zerker, where it was really strong out the gate, and then it's just gotten tweaked and balanced. So like, is it better or worse like numbers wise doing more trash? I think like right now it's like, I don't know, if it's not more than it's the same or less. It's I don't think they've gotten massive buffs and hasn't felt like way, way stronger. But I don't know, I haven't been smacking mobs recently, so I can't really say if there's something recent that's really occurred.
Right on. Okay, I mean, I think that's a fair take, right? If you look back a year, I mean, the Zerk's definitely in a worse spot than it was. But in fairness, you deserved it, okay?
Right.
The no stamina movement and all the other stuff. No, screw Berserkers, okay? They were, like, kings of the universe. Nobody remembers. Yep. Pepperidge Farm remembers, okay? They were, like, kings of large-scale PvP and small-scale PvP, 1v1s, and PvE for, like, the longest time. It's absolutely ridiculous. And they're still a top tier class in basically all of those formats, and they just got a recent overall like buff nerf on the global labs a little bit too. So yeah, I would agree with Blonde's assessment that it is worse off than it was a year ago, but I think for the better compared to the rest of the classes in the game. Right. As for the classes that you didn't really talk about, Scholar, but maybe you're not playing it as much anymore because you talked about Dosa instead.
Yeah.
So as far as the classes that I'm playing, I think that all the Dark Knight mains on the server can go ahead and agree Awakening Dark Knight is bottom tier garbage in PvE right now. It is bad. Like, I don't understand. We were like B to B plus before. We were doing okay. If you were sweating balls off, maybe you could pull off an A tier hour. You know what I mean? But like, they literally just nerfed us into the fucking ground for PvE in a recent patch and have not done anything about it. So DK Awakening is kind of down tremendous. And that's really the only time that they've touched DK in about the last 365 days or so. It was to just basically nerf the PvE format. So Succession is doing okay. SuckDK is like, all right, yep, it's pulling acceptable, like reasonable trash numbers, but Awakening is just not worth the effort that you're going to put in. So they basically killed that class in PvE, except for like the super hardcore DKs. You're just not going to see it very often. I've been playing a lot of Awakening Megu lately. I do think that Awakening Megu is up compared to last year, but I think that the primary problems that the class has is not that it's necessarily super bad in PvE. It's received a number of changes involving its AoE over the last like 365 days or go. Again, it's been AoE damage and various buffs that have kind of made it like quality of life. But the biggest problem on the Awakening Megu is the fact that there's no skill description for your passive. There's no passive indicator on the class at all, and it makes the class extremely difficult to pick up and play as a new player. The payoff is really good if you can get over that initial hump and really get the muscle memory down and understand the class, but you're talking at least, you know, 20 to 50 hours of like suffering before you get to a point where the class is like really smooth, and that's kind of frustrating. But overall, I do think that the class is in a better spot than it was a year ago. Overall though, I think that now that the dust has settled on PvE, and I know that this was not on your sheet though, Jay, but I do think that we should talk about best classes in the game, PvE. So and this is going to be super controversial. Okay. All of the classes in the game just finished their big balance patch. We might see one more adjustment patch this week, but for the most part, we have seen
one more.
No, they said that this was the last one, and then they were going to adjust it.
Oh.
Yeah, so this is like the last big change of like the classes that they're going through, and then they were going to adjust it. So like we should get one more balance change of like kind of nerfs, really, more than anything else. And then that's basically, we're kind of at the end here. Of like their big balance shakeup for 2025. And I'm curious where you guys think your class sits in relation to the other classes. For example, Corgi, we're going to start with you. So like the question I'm going to ask is, where do you think Valkyrie is in relation to the other classes in the game? I would consider S tier like a tippity top tier grinder. A tier is like above average good. B tier average. C tier is below average. D is for dog shit. Okay, so like that's kind of like the rating that we're the rating system that we're using right now. Where do you think Valkyrie is, Corgi, and who do you think the best classes in the game in PvE are? Go ahead, Corgi.
I think if you were really good and you're paying attention the whole hour, she's an S. But like if you're just AFK at the keyboard, face rolling everything, it's a B.
Okay,
or
yeah.
C.
Okay, that's a good take.
And the best grinders right now, I want to say Suckcasters off the top of my head, both Wizard and Witch.
Really? I think that's strong? Because I got messaged by some wizards that they were like, we got nerfed. I'm like, shut your mouth. I read the notes. You did not get just stupid. so annoying. I actually agree with your assessment on Suckcaster. I think Witch was already in a phenomenal spot, and I think that they buffed her and made her even stronger. So I think I would agree with you on that. And I actually also agree with your assessment on Valkyrie. I think it's an extremely difficult class. And very quickly, I'm going to shoot a question at you after I finish elaborating here. Like, it's a super hard class to play, kind of like Suck Ninja. Like, if you really are sweating, you're going to, like, the difference in trash loot between someone sweating and someone just averagely playing the class is like night and day. Huge, huge amounts of silver per hour on the class. But, like, do you think that Valkyrie, like, so 4 years ago, in order to pick up Awakening Valkyrie, a new player would have to watch, like, Amu's guide, and it would take them, like, do, like, 50 hours of just, like, practicing the animation cancels and trying to learn the engages and how to grind a PvE. Even just to grind a PvE, it would be hard, you know? Like, do you think that the class has gotten easier to pick up over the years? Do you think the devs have done a good job? Yeah, maybe they've ruined how the class feels to veteran players, but do you think it's actually easier for a new player to pick up and play now?
To be honest, my experience learning Valk was quite different because I just picked it up on a whim, and then I just shot Raiden a DM and he would VOD review me each war.
Yeah, that's what I did with Amu.
So I can't say for sure.
I did the same thing with Amu. Amu, like, went into the battle arena and, like, trained me. Like, it was something out of Rocky. Like, it was...
But most of the people that ask me, hey, can you give me tips on Valk? Usually, I don't see them asking about Valk after, like, the first 2 days.
Yep. Yep, and that's why I think a lot of the Valkyrie mains have kind of given up on helping new players with the class because they know that they're just going to give up on the class in like a couple of days, you know, because that's how players' attention span kind of tends to be nowadays with all the easy class in the game. Anyway, that was a tangent, but I just wanted to know your genuine opinion on that, and I would agree with you. Blonde, what do you think, like, what have you heard? Like, Blonde, you haven't been playing BDO a whole lot, okay, but... Based on community, Blonde, your opinion is good because you're only going to be able to tell us what you feel the community has been freaking out about. Like, what have you been hearing a lot about as being the best class of the game in PvE right now? Where do you think Berserker is after the patch? And listen, where do you think Dosa is?
All I can say is Zerker's probably solid B, because if I don't see a Reddit post every single day talking about Zerker, then we're good. We're no longer S tier. I don't see a Reddit post every single day about Berserker. Hallelujah, I'm saved, thank goodness. I remember there was a whole year and a half straight where every single day there was another post. Suck Berserker, wah! So, Based. Listen, if it ain't there every single day, we're back to B tier, baby. No one's got their eyes on us. I love it. When it comes to Dosa, I mean, Dosa's a little bit above average, I feel like. It just... I don't know if it's... I wouldn't say... Maybe it's not a numbers-wise thing, but the class just feels solid. The buffs feel great. He feels awesome in a group. It's just pluses all around. I don't know how you can't give that, like, an A.
Okay, like, and do you mean Awakening up. Or Succession?
Oh, Awakening. I don't play Succession. I don't know. Succession's not bad, but... I mean, come on. You want to be the Avatar or what?
That's fair. Okay, all right. That is fair. Okay, so what do you think the best classes of the game are? Like, who are you hearing complain about the most?
I don't think, you know, for a long time I felt like I was constantly listening to discourse about people being upset about trash per hour. I have not really. The last like big push I've heard people talk about is what Corgi said, the casters. I feel like the casters are maximum effort for maximum reward because they're just that you can cast a lot and boom 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 boom, boom with abilities. But I haven't really heard anything else where people are like, oh yeah, this class is really good. Like every once in a while I hear like, oh, like a Suck Ninja is really good if you push in all that effort. And back in the day it was like Suck, or not Suck, it was Awakening Nova, like when you would go really, really hard and lock in. But I just don't feel like I hear that in the community too much anymore. I feel like more people are concerned about other things than like the trash per hour, unironically.
Well, I actually think that that's for a different reason that I'll just elaborate on. I think it's because the devs basically made everything a tower spot, and you don't have to balance everything.
Know. Who knows what's the best spot? Who you, knows exactly. What the best grinder is when you just sit there and you're stuck on a spawn timer?
Yeah,
you
would have exactly.
No idea. No there is no class imbalance in bossing, say, when you can't run pack to pack and know who's the king of the grind spot anymore. Who fucking knows? You'll never know. It's all fixed on a 1 minute spawn timer. Gotcha.
There's no animosity.
Crazy.
There. I get it. Bro. I'm right there with you, dude. So you have to, in order to like assess class balance in PvE, you kind of have to look at a spot like Darkseeker's Retreat or Tungrad Ruins, where you like that can make a difference. Like if your class is better, it can make a difference, right? So like, you know, you kind of look at those as the two high end grind zones, and even Golden Pig Cave is kind of like this as well. It's
kind of like that.
A little tougher because the mobs are a little further apart. Jay. Where do you think the best classes? Where do you think WUSA is in comparison to the other classes, WUSA Awakening is? And Succession?
Well,
where do you think the best classes in the game are? Go ahead.
Well, I really like the way Corgi put it with like Valkyrie about how it's like an S grinder if you're like sweaty about it, but more like a B tier if you're grindy. And I kind of think that kind of framework makes a lot of sense to me for, I want to say, like all the classes. I feel like, let's say B tier is like 30k, 35k comfortably at DSR. I kind of want to say like every class can just comfortably grind that. And then from there, that's when you like, you know, if you put more brain power and effort into it, is when you reach those 40, 45k numbers, maybe even 50k before like all the nerfs happened with some of the classes, right? Those would be considered the S plus tier classes. And for WUSA, yeah, she's like, if you're just comfortably grinding, I would say both Suck and WUSA. A lot of people ask me, oh, what's better, Suck or WUSA? I always say like, oh, if you're grinding comfortably, both Suck and WUSA can grind very like performance wise, okay, very similarly. I do think the go ahead.
He's saying Suck and WUSA. You mean Succession and Awakening. That guy's, that's what he means.
Oh, okay, sorry. Anyway. Yeah, Suck and Awakening. Like they always want to ask me like, oh, what's the comparison, right? And so I always say that, oh, if you grind comfortably on both Suck and Awakening, it performs similarly. But it, like, I would say the potential of higher end would be a Succession just because of the direct damage. Indirect damage has always been, or also known as like summon damage, has always been like very iffy with how the damage numbers work. As well as because of the delayed damage from Awakening WUSA, it kind of holds her back from performing those like higher ends. So I would say like top end, if you're like really sweating it with Awakening WUSA, maybe like B plus A minus kind of tier. And then for Suck WUSA, like closer to like just like A, and then maybe closer to A plus if you are like really sweating it out with for WUSA. And also I do like Golden Pick Cave as also a metric or barometer of measurement, because people have been, instead of doing trash numbers at Golden Pig, they've been doing timers. So like a really good time at Golden Pig is like 13 minutes. Like if you're clearing 13 minutes or something with your class, then you are like S tier, right? And so like 15 minutes would be closer to like A tier, and then 17 minutes plus closer, you know, to like B-ish tier, 17 to 20 minutes. And that's where I usually comfortably do at for Awakening WUSA. In general, for Golden Pig Gaze, is like those 17 to 20 minute clears, just like comfortable turn your brain off kind of moments and stuff like that. And so as for like the best classes, as you mentioned before, like Suck Witch and Suck Wizard had gone some pretty big changes. If you guys don't know, like Wizard, I think some people were calling it nerfs because they increased the cooldown, but as I think they improved the sort of like reduction mechanic, like cooldown reduction mechanic for Wizard. So I haven't played Wizard to play around with that cooldown reduction mechanic, but it seemed like from the notes it was supposed to be like, overall, if you were utilizing your fire elements more often, then you would get your meteor faster, or if you're using your lightning elements, you would get your discharge faster. If you were using your ice elements, you would get your blizzard faster and stuff like that. So that's what it sounded like. And then Witch has always been a very solid grinder, as you mentioned before, and then she got even some more buffs, so the high potential of Witch has, you know, has even gone up there. I've been also seeing some really good numbers from Hashishin, surprisingly. I haven't heard about Hashishin in a while. Nobody really talks about Hashishin, but I've been seeing some really good numbers at DSR from Hashishin, like 40k plus numbers without a dark tide, like one of those RNG mechanics and stuff like that. I've been hearing some really good numbers from Succession Nova, like doing better than Awakening Nova in PvE in terms of numbers, which is surprising. But Awakening Nova just recently got some big mechanical changes that I've been hearing from my chat. Like they don't like it. There's a lot of like big mechanical changes for Awakening Nova. I don't know how, I've never played it, so I don't know how big impactful it is, but it seemed like they were kind of upset. So let's see, what other classes do I have? Sage as well. How could I forget? Sage has been killing it, and also PvE and PvP. So I would say he's up there as well. I don't really hear too much about Corsairs or anything like that. Yeah, I haven't heard about Corsair in a while, so I don't know how they're doing in both PvE or PvP, but I don't know. Maybe they're hidden OP and nobody's talking about it. And maybe they're like S plus tier, but they don't want it to get nerfed, so they don't talk about it. Maybe that's the situation. I don't know. So, but yeah.
Okay.
I can't really think of anything else. Yeah,
I think it's a good assessment. I do think that there's, for some classes, you talk about like the gap between sweating and then not sweating.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's way bigger on some classes. There's always gonna that gap is always gonna be there on all classes in the game. But I think that like I think the biggest gap discrepancy would be like Succession Ninja, where like if you're butt at Succession Ninja, you're C tier. Okay. But if you are gaming on Suck Ninja, you're S tier.
If you're gaming,
You're cooking, right? You're cooking. As far as Dark Knight goes, Awakening DK. I'm putting it in the D for dog water. Like straight up. I think that if you are a top tier Awakening DK, you're C tier. And I think that if you're not a top tier and you're not pulling like super great, you're in the dumpster. It is literally just in that position. Now, Succession DK is kind of pumping. I would say that Succession DK, if you're like a moderate Suck DK, is A. And to be honest with you, a hot take. I'll be honest with you. Like Suck is in a position where you're S tier. Like you're one of the best grinders in the game, in my opinion, on Suck DK at some of the high end grind zones in the game. If you're a gamer, so like I do think that Suck DK is actually in a really good spot. But Awakening is kind of been dumpstered.
I have heard from some of my viewers that they switched over from Awakening to Suck and they don't like it, but they feel like they're like griefing themselves if they don't play Suck. And so, yeah, I have heard some good things about Suck lately. I mean, I've seen, I'm sure you know Lua. He's a very, very good grinder on DK. I think Orzechia is also a pretty good metric. Like if you can pull 20K at Orzechia, that's kind of like where you want to be at for those like S tier numbers. 20K is essentially four bosses. You can fit in four Orzechia bosses in what's her name again? Kathowin.
The mini boss.
If you can fit four of those, then you're gaming. And then I would say casually three bosses. Three bosses is about 15K. That's kind of like your turn your brain off numbers. So
yeah, I would say that like honestly, if you look back, there's been so many changes, so it's difficult to remember. I actually think that Succession Guardian is normally in the history of Guardians. I think that Guardian has traditionally, typically, like people play Awakening, but I actually think that Succession is pretty significantly better than Awakening Guardian at the moment at high end grind zones. Sage Awakening is Giga right now. I have no idea why they buffed it. It was already good, and then they buffed it again. I have no idea. I don't get it. And then I would agree with Corgi's assessment. I think the best grinders in the game right now are probably Succession Caster, unless you're super sweating Suck Ninja. Sure. It's still, you're gonna have to sweat on Caster no matter what. And if you're sweating on Caster, it's probably gonna be S. Now, Awakening Caster, in my opinion, if you're an Awakening Wizard, A tier. If you're an Awakening Witch, I'm gonna say B to B minus. Like straight up. The reason people play Awakening, people are on the copium that Awakening, oh, it's fine, it's good. No, you compare it to the other classes in the game, it's worse off than it was a year ago. Okay. They did get some quality of life changes that helped it in PvE, no question. But because the other classes have been buffed to an extent that they are, like, you know, you're talking about Hash, you're talking about Sage, you're talking about a bunch of, even Awakening Megu, bro. Like, all these other classes are now outgrinding her. So, like, her place in the pecking order, did she get better? Absolutely. But her place in the pecking order kind of moved down. The reason people, a ton of people play Awakening Witch is because it is by far the safest class in the game at high-end grinding. You will not die. It doesn't matter if you're brain-dead grinding, you can turn your brain off and still get like a really solid trash loot and you're not at risk of dying. Yeah. But at Golden Pig Cave and class or at spots like that, if you play like a really high volatile class like Awakening Nova or even Awakening Megu or Dark Knight or any of those like really squishy classes that don't have a crazy amount of frontal guards, you're at risk of death. And death means like and it's also really, it's much way harder. Awakening Witch is like super low APM, and I would say that it's kind of an average grinder. Like overall, I think it's relatively an average grinder. It's kind of the bar, in my opinion. It's okay. I wouldn't say it's above average by any means, but I wouldn't say it's necessarily below average at all, because it's super safe as well. Super, super safe. And I know that people are not going to necessarily like to hear that, but it is what it is. Like, there's a lot of hours recorded on that class because, again, people just want a chill grinder. People wonder why Lan did not get any changes. I think Awakening got some changes, but Succession didn't. And I just want to say that the reason Succession Lan didn't get any changes is because that shit is already stupidly, stupidly good. Stop it. Warrior has gotten like, it got buffed once and then got nerfed like three times. Overall, though, I do think that Warriors are kind of up, right? Although none of you know. Nobody Warriors? Has any idea.
Well, okay. I've only ever heard. Okay, so I talk with Zeradon a lot because we do a lot of like content outside of BDO a lot, and he's always complaining about Warrior. But maybe that's just Zeradon.
Oh my god, that's Warriors every he's time. Always bro. Completely... bro, even when they're busted, they're like, "Oh my god, I can't grab them."
Even in the partner Discord, I don't know if we're allowed to talk about partner Discord, but he's always complaining about Warrior.
Yeah.
Let me expose them.
Yeah. Anyway, tell us more about what happened to that partner chat. Anyway, don't do that. Okay. Don't do that. Okay. Yo, hey, Corgi, I'm curious. You ever played Suck Valk?
Yeah, I used to main it, but I don't touch it at all nowadays.
Really? Okay. So it just got buffed in the most recent patch. Are you thinking like pretty significantly buffed in PvE, which in my opinion was a W thing for them. Do you think you're going to give it a shot again, or like, why is it that you don't like playing it?
For PvE, they changed one of her spam skills that you could do, and they put a cooldown on it. So I don't think the buffs are enough to mitigate that change specifically.
So you think it's overall just kind of a nerf?
It should be like close to what it was before, but I just probably wouldn't find it enjoyable to grind on with that change specifically.
Well, dang. Okay. All right. Well, I was wondering. Now, okay. So I'm sure that all of you have heard about the Great Awakening Nova changes of 2025. Mm-hmm. Awakening Novas feel very strongly about these changes. I read through these super thoroughly on stream, every single change super thoroughly. And to be honest with you, a lot of the skills are getting nerfed on a lot of different ways. But her mm-hmm. damage in PvE is actually increasing. So in a crazy way, she probably will, once the dust settles and the people that are going to stay with the class end up staying with it and they figure out how to min-max it again, I actually do mm-hmm. think it's going to be a really good grinder still. It just, I feel like it got the Valkyrie treatment, where I think that a lot of the Awakening Novas are extremely upset that the class that they learned and fell in love with is now... not the same.
Very different.
Yeah, not the same mm-hmm. anymore. But like, I do think that it will be an above average grinder. No question. Once the dust settles on the class. But the problem is, I think that the cost was removing part of the class's identity. And I think that that's what people are really upset about at mm-hmm. the end of the day. I do think, I agree with the Awakening Nova AoE like reduction. Yeah, that shit was way, like, what are we talking about? Like the class had crazy AoE for something that can close the distance faster than any other class in the game. Absolutely obnoxious. Okay, let's. All right, now we're gonna have the hot takes. Who are the worst classes in the game in PvE right now? We're gonna start with Corgi. Corgi, ooh. Worst classes and specs in the game.
Well, I was gonna say maybe Mewa, but I don't know what the recent buffs anymore. Maybe if I had to pick one, honestly, I don't see any Deadeyes anymore after they got nerfed.
True, bro. Who? Bro, I see them walking around town. They're gooning, but they ain't grinding. I don't see it very much anymore. Yeah. I don't think they're the worst class of the game, but you could make that case. Okay. All right. Interesting. Okay. Blonde. Who's the worst class of the game in PvE? Like, who are the worst classes? You could split it up with like solo and group grind zones if you want to, too.
Is Kunoichi any good anymore?
Sukuno, I do think that is still like really solid in PvE, but I think Awakening, it was going to be one of my answers might have been Awakening. Awakening Kuno.
Yeah, I just have never ever heard anything ever good. The only thing you ever hear good about like Awakening Kuno is that like it looks cool. Like that's all I ever hear. I've never ever been like, oh, I cannot wait to go grind with an Awakening Kuno. It's going to be so good. Never have heard that ever said in my life.
So true. She's really high effort for almost no payoff in the Awakening format. I think Succession Kuno actually pumps some pretty good trash loot if you're kind of gaming with her, but not as good as her ninja counterpart, in my opinion. But I agree with you. Any other classes you think stand out as like bottom tier, never talked about, nobody wants to play it classes?
No, it's just Kuno. Kuno's always been on my mind of like, it's literally the bottom rung of the ladder. Oh, not damn. Really any others really come to mind too much. It's literally always Kuno.
Okay.
And I don't know if that's like Frosty stuck in my brain or something.
Frosty
but,
has doomed you. Frosty has literally ruined you for other women. Yeah. That's insane. Okay. J-Kud, you're the ultimate PvE lord.
Hi.
Femboy trash. Now, what do you think is the worst class of the game for PvE?
I kind of want to say just because you are limited to be optimal in a very few places, shy. And so you're literally like only like super meta in like party grind spots and in solo grind spots. I have seen some like good numbers potentially in some like solo grind spots where you don't need too much AoE. But I feel like because of there's so much upkeep too. Like I recently grinded with Shy and Orzechia just to try it out. And the amount of upkeep I needed to make sure that my buffs are always up, my debuffs and my other, there's so many buffs on Shy. Just for yourself, that you're spending, and I want to say like a good 10 to 15 minutes of your hour just using your animations, just buffing yourself to make sure you're doing the optimal trash and whatnot. And so there's so much upkeep for her. She can pull good numbers if you're like putting high effort on her, of course. But again, like she, because of her low AoE and just like so much upkeep with her class, I feel like she's one of the less appealing grinders out there in comparison to, you know, like Awakening Witch or something in terms of just like how easy and comfortable is. A lot of people say, oh, it's just, you know, like the play style of Shy is like easy, just buff around, but it's just, it's not. If you want to like pull those higher end numbers, you have to like really like be gaming and stuff with it. So I kind of want to say it's Shy. Shy is like the worst grinder in PvE. Personally.
Okay, I'm going to have a hot take. And before Jay starts getting flamed like balls in the comments.
Hi, yeah.
I'm going to double down with you. I actually was, one of my answers was going to be Shy, but only for solo grinding. I think that Shy, because I've played Shy, and it sucks, dude. You constantly have to buff yourself, and then you have to debuff the mobs with the Misty sometimes when it comes up. Like it's annoying. And then you don't have very many like frontal guards and stuff. The AoE on the class is like, okay.
Yeah, the
and,
protection.
Yeah, exactly. Like the group grinding Shy S plus tier, right? Can't say anything better about it, right?
Very good.
But like at these solo spots, by nature of the class, it's really just not very good, bro. Like nobody wants to grind at those places. And the reason that nobody really complains about this very much, but I'm curious what the Shy mains actually think. Like I think that your solo grind, especially on the high end, sucks. Like really sucks. And it's because they've buffed your group grind to be a position where it's just way too busted. Good.
So I was going to say, I noticed that there was some changes for certain classes like Witch and Wizard, where they got their like self buffs just naturally in their kit, like their 20% cast speed buff from Speed Spell now is just baked into Voltaic. And I was like thinking, oh, maybe that would be a good way to like make Shy a little bit more comfortable to play, is if they bake in some of the Shy buffs into self buffs. So whenever she did her boomerang ability, she just got her like speed spell and whatnot, but she'd still have to cast speed spell to affect her party members, you know, just to make her like solo grinding a little bit more comfortable. Cause they did that for a bunch of different classes to just bake in a lot of their like self stuff. So
maybe
that would be a way to make it a bit better.
I think the way to make Shy like a lot better would be to just remove it completely from the entire game because terrorism in Black Desert Online.
I just want to say those in the comment section in like 3 or 4 months when you see a massive Shy solo grind buff and it becomes like both the best PvE solo and PvE group class, I just want you to know where that
Stop
came from.
It,
just remind yourself in a few months. These guys spoke it into existence. Just remember that. I just want you to commit that to memory.
Fuck you, Blonde. I love how Blonde is like, yo, this is great. Normally, I'm the rage baiter. This time, they're going to get all the hate. This dude's going to like goon to
actually
the comment
crazy.
Section this week. This dude's going to goon to the comment
say
section.
Say something
insane.
Like that.
Actually crazy.
Yeah, you know what? Shy solo PV sucks. You know, it really would be cool if we could fix this, guys. Don't you think?
No. Okay, let me be very clear about how you fix. So the problem is, you can't just buff Shy, and this is the problem with Shy. You can't just buff Shy's PvE and expect it to get better as a solo grinder, because if you buff Shy's damage, it's just going to get better at group grinding, and she's going to be even better at group grinding. In order to buff Shy's solo grind, you have to first nerf her group grind to a point that the solo grind can actually compete. So the class needs to be completely rethought top to bottom if they're actually going to change it. Now, with regards to Kunoichi, I have the hot take of I actually think that Awakening Kuno is doing okay right now. I think that the best Awakening Kunos, I talked to some of them, I think that they're pulling average to above average trash loot. They're doing fine. They're not S tier, but they're B to A, you know. And then the bad Kunos are average to below average. You know, there's a gap there. But I do think that Kuno overall, Awakening and Succession, is doing okay at the moment. It's just a lot of work in order to try to get to an above average state, where if you just put in a lot of work on something like Suck Ninja, you're gonna outperform it. So it doesn't really make any sense. I think that okay, worst class in the game in PvE. Well, you can't spell Dark Knight without starting to spell dog shit. So, Awakening DK, it's not the worst class in the game in PvE, but I do think that it is down. It's down there. It's somewhere down there. It's definitely worse than Awakening Witches, which again puts it in the below average category. But I think that the worst class in PvE in the game, and I don't think it's a contest, is Corsair. I think that Corsair is, it's not talked about. Neither spec is really played anymore. They've basically completely destroyed the fabric of the class. Like, overall, I think that Awakening has always been kind of ass in PvE, and then Succession Corsair. Again, even the Suck Corsairs, they changed the class, and now it's just total butt. You know what I mean? Like, nobody plays this thing anymore because they've basically destroyed the foundations of the class and somehow nerfed it. Like, you mean Captain Sailor for my boat? I mean, bro, if we're gonna make Corsair, like just like the RP boat class, then do that, right? But like, don't try to, like, you can't introduce it like you did Shy, where Shy is gonna be like the RP life skilling class, and then try to balance it in the rest of the game because you just break the game. But like, you want to make it the boat class, that's fine. But I think that Corsair's identity is a lot more than just being the captain of a goddamn ship. And I think that they've done the class a tremendous disservice. So again, I didn't hear Corsair from anyone. I personally think it's Corsair. I think the rest of the class has kind of landed, where they will. You know what? I'll probably do a tier list right after the podcast and just like start throwing, oh, bro, cause that shit, oh man, people are going to get upset. Oh, they're gonna be so mad. But it's really good to talk about that potentially. As like because like again, that's the focus of the game right now. I actually made a video recently, so we're gonna pivot off. Is there anything anyone wanted to add about PvE? Okay,
yeah, more group grind spots. Oh. Sorry.
Oh my.
Okay, I made a video recently that really resonated, I feel like, with a lot of people, and I'm curious what your guys' thoughts on it were. Can it, Corgi particularly. I think, because you're a guildmaster, Corgi, so you have a very good idea of how active your guild is. Above all, you're trying to strive to keep your players active, to keep your friends playing the game. That's why you said that you do it in the first place. You're just trying to keep them active. Do you feel like AFK culture in BDO, since they've buffed AFK fishing and then shifted a lot of like the, okay, we want you to speed through kind of our active content or like AFK more, even when you're playing the game actively. Do you think this shift towards AFK culture in BDO has kind of led to a decline in the game state overall? Have you seen less active guild states as a result of people just relying on AFK fishing more?
To be honest, for my own guild, I haven't really seen any ups or downs since fishing buff. But I do know that it's keeping the older players playing the game because they don't have to play as much to keep up with the other geared people.
Okay, so you think it's actually helping?
Sort of. But that's only because I don't really talk to new players, so I don't know their perspective on it.
Okay. All right. So,
do you think that's it's healthy? It's a healthy way to sustain player base.
It's hard to say because it's like artificially inflating the player base. If that makes sense.
Right. Do you?
Because I know a lot of people.
Thing a game would do.
Blonde's really trying to lead you into this right now. He's really. I guess he's laying that bait out there right now.
I guess it's good for the executives at the table when they see their stock number going up.
True.
But for the community, I don't know. I don't think it does much other than keeping some people in the game.
Okay. All right. All right, Blonde, I know that you're itching now on this. Do you think that AFK culture and BDO has harmed the game overall and caused people to play less actively and quit the game over time? Yes, it keeps them playing in the short term. Do you think they're quitting long term? Have you seen more activity in the game? Do you feel like the game's being played less actively? I assume that you feel like it's unhealthy, but like, what's your take on the whole AFK culture becoming much more popular in BDO?
I think it's a really tough issue. I think it puts a nasty sentiment on the game when the concept for a lot of this game, I felt like, has always been the more time you put into the game, the more you're going to grind, and the more your account grows with the time you put into it. So essentially, the time that you're putting into something is kind of respected. Regardless of how lucky you were, getting really lucky one taps or other stuff, I felt like BDO always felt like the more effort and time you put into it, you're eventually going to get that drop, you're going to get that enhancement, you're going to get that silver to buy that new gear piece. Because I know plenty of people that just bought their gear. And now that, like, there's a culture shift of, like, you know, we used to AFK fish for, like, 20 mil a night, no big deal. And some people were running to towns and selling, like, 100 to 150 maybe mil. And, like, that was pretty crazy. Now that it's, like, shifted a lot farther on the deeper end of money, but we're also making a lot more money, and that hasn't been shifted since the beginning of the game, and I totally understand that. I think that now that players can make the excuse of, like, well, I don't have to play every day, I don't have to grind every day, I don't have to log into the game, I think is good if you're, like, an addicted person who's playing the game 8 hours a day, and you're like, ah, I gotta keep playing or else I can't catch up. Like, I think that's, like, an unhealthy relationship and mentality to have with the game, so I think you should already be stepping away at that point. And so maybe in some ways it is healthier because a player no longer has to play the game because they can log AFK on it and then log in once a week and do their group activities. Is that a healthy thing for the actual player base? Are players actually playing the game? I don't think that's a healthy player base. It might be healthy for the mindset of the player to play less because they're not playing 10 plus hours a day and being addicted and stuff like that. I think that it's a really complex argument, like, what is good, which is sort of what Corgi was saying. It's like, yeah, it's good that the player base numbers are up so that the executives can show the shareholders that the numbers are up so they can get more money to invest in the game to make it better. And potentially, if the direction they eventually go for the game ends up being a better game now that they're done developing Crimson Desert, this could be a positive thing. But based on the track record over the last year or two plus, it doesn't feel like it's in a positive change. I'm sure people that, again, people that maybe played a lot and are now playing a lot less, and they're like, now I can just kind of log in and do a little bit and whatever, I'm sure those players feel kind of all right. But I don't think it's a healthy trend to set in a game where you don't have to put any time into this game and play it to actually get anything out of it. You could AFK a whole year, making 2 to 3 bill a day. That's a trillion silver in a year, and you could just buy all the gear you need. So you don't have to play the game. That's cool. You know, whatever. Like, I don't think that's a healthy trend to set. I think that AFK style type ability should have always been like less than 10% of what you should or could grind as a normal person in a day. So it just feels like weird. That's just my take. I don't think it's a good, healthy way of the game.
I agree. Personally. It would be like, I used this analogy before, and I'll give my take at the end, but like, I used this analogy before, but it's kind of like content creation. You're not battling to be the stream that everybody's lurking in. You're battling to be the stream that everybody's actually actively listening to, right? Because a lot of people watch Twitch with like 4 or 5 streams open at a time, but like, you want to be the streamer that they're actively listening to. You don't want to be the stream on lurk, right? It's kind of like being the game. You don't want to be the game that they're not actively playing. Like, you're trying to battle to be that active game, at least in my opinion. Now, Jay, I'm curious. Hi. Jay, you've seen the evolution yourself. You've been playing the game a lot more actively recently, mm-hmm. too. Have you seen people get less active recently, or at least since they made these changes and the shift towards AFK? Do you agree more with Corgi that it really hasn't had too much of a substantial impact on the player base? Or do you agree more like with Blonde's thinking? Or are you something entirely different?
I kind of agree on both. There's like a very like debatable kind of
always defense it, Jay.
God,
always right on the fence line, right in the one cheek on each side, yep. Just swirling that thing like a horse. Love it.
But actually, I just want to show you guys with a screenshot that I just saw. It was like really
funny.
You're
avoiding hate in the comments on this video. You're crazy. You're shy comment earlier. You're cooked, bro. Just commit. Just double down.
Can you look at the screenshot I posted on Discord? I thought this was so funny. Okay, so I have this friend named Jazz, right? And he's like a TNL gamer, right? And he just logged into BDO for the first time in a long time. And he's like, on the screenshot here, it says, wow, I'm so good at the game. And then Choice replies, like, damn, a T10, Penn Blackstar, T9 Horus, and Ted Blackstar all while not logging in? That's talent. And I just thought that was, like, really funny. And that was, like, kind of the situation we're talking about where we're just rewarded for not playing the game. And is that healthy? And I'm like, well, I mean, they do have to have some sort of catch-up mechanics for people who do want to catch, because we're like kind of progressed in terms of like BDO as a whole, as a game. Like people are reaching 800 plus gear score now, right? Like people are, I think the top end for gear score is like 810 or 820. If you have like, you know, potentially full pen, all of your armors, which I have seen on Twitter, there was a Twitter post of this, I think it was like a Japanese player who literally had pen, like helmet, chest, gloves, and boots, which was insane. So they basically beat the game, their deck, everything too. It was yeah. So they have been, I don't know if that person like paid to win or like just played actively.
What do you mean you don't know if that person played to win? Are you kidding me?
Well, that I dude? Was gonna lead into with Blonde saying that if you do play like very actively, you're eventually gonna get those items. But yeah, you know, I could definitely Stop see it. That, you know, Penn Labresca and all that stuff is very like unrealistic for the average player. But maybe he's not an average player. Maybe he just, you know, plays a lot. But again, like you can eventually get everything if you play a lot potentially, you know. So
that person's definition of PvP has nothing to do with other players. That is player versus paywall. Okay.
Player like, versus pearls.
Yeah, true. Player versus pearls. Like, there's just no shot. Okay, I just refuse to believe it at all. I actually think that a large part, and I'll probably make a follow-up video on it, of the biggest problem with progression in the game, I think the biggest, in my opinion, AFK is contributing to players quitting the game. Because, in my opinion, in order to truly quit BDO, what you do is you stop playing actively over time. You start your the blocks of time that you would normally play actively become shorter and shorter and shorter, and you AFK more and more and more, and then eventually you just let go even of AFK. And I think that shifting your player base towards more of an AFK style artificially starts this sequence a lot faster for a lot of players, which I could be wrong about, but I'll be honest with you, the videos seem to resonate with a lot of people, and normally videos like that I lose subscribers, that the like ratio is in the dumpster, and like the comment section is full of hate. This time the video has a 97% like ratio. Most of the comments are overwhelmingly positive. Like normally I hate this bull, but I think he's right this time, kind of deals, right? So like I think that it did strike a chord with people, but I think that the follow-up video is going to be more like, why is progression really kind of in a bad spot in the game right now? And I'm going to ask your question. I wonder if you guys agree with me on this. I think the word that comes to mind is urgency. So there's no sense of urgency to acquire gear anymore. It is just, well, I'll get it eventually, which is before. I understand that BDO is, I know it's going to sound weird up front, but hear me out. BDO is a long-term grind format game in that, like, it's a marathon, right? Not a sprint. You're always grinding long-term. But the thing that kept you grinding, especially most actively in the game, is you're like, oh man, I really need to get gear together so that I can PvP better, or I need to get gear together so that I can get to that next grind zone so I can be making the most money in the game and I can really make use of my time or something like that. But there's really no sense of urgency that I feel anymore to be like, I need to get this gear right now so that I can get to the end game in some way, shape, or form like there used to be in the past. For me, the motivation was always PvP. It's like, okay, I got to keep up with the gear curve for PvP. I have to get out and grind. I have to go on a grind arc, whatever, right? That's just not there anymore. And so I just don't feel that urgency, and I feel like that and the Cronstone issue, obviously, are the two primary factors that I think contribute to players not playing the game as actively outside of the AFK issue. They just don't feel that urgency, which kind of helps them AFK more. Now, I'm curious, do you agree with me on this? Corgi, I'll ask you first. Do you feel like there's a sense of urgency there? Do you think I'm off base, or what's your take on that?
No, you're right. There's just really no reason to progress your gear unless you just want to see the number going up nowadays.
Okay, well, okay. Hello, Corgi. clear, concise, and to the point. Honestly, Corgi, if we had you on as a normal podcast member, I think you were you're J-Kun, basically. You're just like, okay, boom, just lays it on the line and then just stops talking.
Yes, another J-Kun.
Yeah.
Leave it for the tea.
I like it. Yeah, I mean, I agree. Blonde, what do you think? Do you think that I nailed it there, or do you think that it's something else? You guys are pretty ears, so.
I think it's a lot of elements. I don't think it's one individual thing. I think it's like a long term, like systemic change to the game that's like shifted things. I think that back in like, and I hate to go this far back, but back in like the Madaya era, like getting like Pen was kind of like crazy at first, and then as you played more and we got more materials, hitting Tet wasn't so strange, and then eventually hitting Pen wasn't so strange anymore. But it was still like rare, and I think that during the Black Star era that also felt the same. I don't feel that way about the current meta, which may be fine for like longer term, but like there were things that fundamentally changed when you got like a Tet to Pen upgrade when it was back in the Dandelion era and when the Black Star era happened, where you got Tet to Pen Black Star. You felt a significant change. And I don't feel that way with the current set of gear. I don't feel like a massive difference between like level 5 weapons to level 10 weapons. Like I understand the numbers are going up, but like that's a massive amount of change and like arguably trillions of silver, depending on if you get lucky or not. And there is no new grind spot to get access to. There's no new thing that you get to do. I can do everything currently in the game, and my weapons are Pen and 8. But even if both my weapons were Pen, I could do everything. And I feel like it's really, really awkward when you have a massive, like, thousands of hours grind ahead of you. And what are you going to be able to access? Nothing. Like, there's no thing that I can't do. My group is defeated to hard mode to pose Crown Prince. Like, we've done a majority of content, or every single bit of content. Like, there's nothing I don't have access to. And so like there's no motivating factor other than what Corgi said, number goes up, and I think that the numbers kind of play into it, where it's like you know, some of the response has been, oh well, like if you were like a super grinder, you're making way more than 2 to 4 bill a day. And it's like, that's true, but like not everybody can grind 6 to 8 hours a day, and not everybody should be grinding 6 to 8 hours a day. Like if you want a healthy relationship with the game, I don't think you should be doing that. But the fact that you could just AFK for your 24 hours, and instead of playing your 1 to 2 hours after a day of work or whatever, or playing on the weekend, you're just AFK fishing and making up all that money either way, I feel like kind of takes away the, I don't know, the sense of purpose or value into the point of putting your grind in to get something out of it. I think that BDO, again, for me at least, has always felt like one of those games where, like, you know, I'm going to go crazy hard this weekend, I'm going to make a bunch of silver, and I'm going to go buy a new thing, or I'm going to buy these things to invest into my gear, whatever. And I feel like it's just slowly shifted away from that, where, like, yeah, now it is that. It's just much longer, but also there's nothing, like, unlocked. I remember grinding like crazy, getting access to, like, you know, we were doing Miramax back in the day, and then I finally was like getting gear to go to Histria, and then like, you know, or Achman, and then Histria, and then like going to these harder and harder grind spots as your gear sort of progressed. And like, again, maybe this is just an end game player perspective where it's like, oh, there's nothing for me to do, fine, whatever. But like, I haven't touched my gear in like over a year. There's no way I'm like that far ahead, and new players are going to accelerate even faster. They're going to catch up. And then I feel like they're going to be in sort of the same spot, especially if they're AFK fishing, and now I'm getting a trillion silver in a year, arguably. I just feel like it's going to create a weird precedent for the game where, like, the only, and maybe people don't see this because they're in the middle of that grind, but people aren't seeing that the target audience is new and returning players for a specific period of time. But once you pass that threshold, I mean, if you like seeing number go up, then fine, be my guest. I loved it for many years too, to a point, but I feel like, you're not going to see the wall. Like you're heading straight into a wall and you don't see it. Like you've got your blinders on, and you know, you're just going to crash into that wall. I don't know how else to say it.
Agree. For the most part, generally agree. Yeah. Jay, what's your take on this? Do you feel like that there's urgency in progression, in BDO nowadays? Or do you think that that's the problem? Do you think that's a contributing factor? Or do you think I'm off base?
Yeah, I agree. There's not as much urgency now before. I mean, I like to always use I wasn't there during when Histria first came out, but that was kind of like the chase spot back in the day for like 2017 Histria. And then Ash Forest came out. People were like 600 gear score. It was a 700 gear score spot, right? Crypt came out, even though it was like considered a 710 gear score spot. It was still like another chase kind of grind spot. And so just I feel like there's not as much kind of like you're working towards something to make, you know, to be making that difference in your gear to grind those spots or like do this type of content. I only recently I got into PvP, and I feel like if I did get into PvP earlier, I would maybe not feel as motivated to kind of like grind because I already have like, you know, the kind of gear for PvP, etc., etc. But I think BDO just needs more of that urgency to see more active people playing, and perhaps maybe you know, with the Idania expansion coming out with these like all these like new end game grind zones, perhaps that urgency might come back to be like, oh yeah, I want to grind, you know, I want to get my gear so I can go to Idania and then do like all that cool stuff and stuff like that, you know. So yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. Yeah, I mean, I think that just like I'm just gonna say it. I didn't want to say it before, but now I'm gonna trigger everybody. The urgency and progression before was PvP for most players. Okay, whether you liked PvP or not, it was either to avoid PvP or like there was the threat of PvP or whatever. But now that PvP has essentially been removed from the game, for the most part, sorry, Corgi, compared to what it used to be, I think that the urgency is gone for a lot of people. And then again, PvE... there's been nothing added in PvE that I think really expresses or encourages that same urgency that we used to see. But yep, that's just my take on that. Now we got to do closing thoughts because we've been talking for almost an hour and a half now. Let's do closing thoughts. We'll end with Corgi. We'll start with Blonde.
Closing thoughts. Here we are. Here we are. We'll see the wall soon. Don't worry. you'll see the wall you're about to crash into. Just trust.
Do you think if they introduced capped G Leagues, do you think that would incentivize newer players and newer guilds to get into it?
No. Actually a phenomenal question. The reason I don't think that necessarily helps is that number one, there's already a decent amount of capped content in the game, but number two, Guild League is not necessarily and usually not going to be the reason a new player gets into PvP. Usually a new player wants to get into PvP because they want to be a part of a Node War guild. That's usually why they join. Guild League is an integral part of being in a Node War guild, no question. But until they fix large-scale PvP, open world PvP is dead. There is no open world PvP unless there is first Node Wars. Node Wars are the reason that guilds come together in this game for PvP. The reason that your guild exists, Corgi, is so that you guys can do Node Wars and Siege at a fundamental purpose, right? Like that's why everybody kind of joined in the first place. And of course, you probably participate in all aspects of PvP once that initial foundation is there. But I think unless you're encouraging people to really come together for Node Wars, you're not going to have open world PvP in that beef and those big GVGs that we used to see unless you have people actively grinding for Node Wars and actively trying to participate in Node Wars and Siege. I think that that is something that you can consider. Like, would it help, Corgi, if there was an active player base? Yes, it might help. But then I think that everybody's just going to shift towards the cap PvP, and I don't necessarily think that that's a great thing. I think that you should try to push guilds to do the uncapped format. But, like, yeah, it might help if the guild or the game was more active for PvP, but I don't think that any player is going to be like, yeah, I want to PvP out of nowhere just because I want to do Guild League, and like get new guilds are going to rise up and then suddenly Guild League is going to be super popular. No, usually the inclination to try PvP is either open world or just Node Wars, and again, both are created from Node Wars in most cases. So I think that first they must fix large scale PvP, and then small scale PvP can start to see benefits as a direct result. But it's a good question for sure. Go ahead.
Can I ask one more question for all of you?
Yeah.
I talked to other streamers about it. I know MapleStory has done it, but do you think they should separate NA and Korean updates? So, for example, in MapleStory, NA has a completely different play style, if you will, from Korea. in that Koreans are more willing to swipe on their game. Meanwhile, on NA, they have a server called Reboot where it's basically like Iron Man, where you don't have to swipe at all and you can self-sustain and you can just play the game however you like. So the reason I'm asking that is that, do you think they should update or separate it for BDO so we can get the deck changes back?
Oh, so do you...
One could only dream, brother. One could only dream.
Are you advocating... Okay, let me be clear. Okay, I'm confused. Are you advocating that they separate the Korean patches from the NA patches? Because I don't want that. Or are you advocating for a BDO classic? There's a difference.
Separating the patches.
I am very against separating the patches, mainly because we had that before and Korea had Odalita for 9 months. You look over at console.
Well, no. He's not saying in the sense that like they get stuff before or after, that we don't get stupid updates that don't fit NA's culture versus Korean culture. We'll still get the new region at the same time. We just won't get some dumb change that says PvP is now completely... There's no flagging up in the game anymore. It is illegal. Okay, you will get banned.
Let me be like, really... That kind of stupid stuff. Still no, and the reason is I know that's gonna sound crazy. Ooh. But like I don't Blonde's like, what, homie, what? Okay, I'm the only person here that did the United Nations podcast, so of the people here, I've talked with the Korean community the most about these issues, about issues like this, and I think that people wrongly point the finger at Korea for forcing these changes on the West, when the reality of the situation is the Koreans actually think a lot, especially their PvP scene, thinks a lot more like we do, and their players think a lot like we do. When we are mad with Jae-hee Kim, they are mad with Jae-hee Kim. When we are mad about PvP, they didn't want one-sided decks gone either. They didn't want to go. Now, granted, you're talking about a region that stands in line for PvE, but that's on like the normal servers. Like, but as far as one-sided decks or like Arsha PvP goes, they didn't want the one-sided decks necessarily either. They didn't want the karma changes. They didn't really feel super great about that either. Most of the Korean server generally agrees with us. The only thing that they disagree with us on, or they're relatively indifferent to, is that their PvP, like their large-scale PvP, their Node War scene, has basically killed itself because the top three guilds on the server are all allied with each other, like buddy-buddy, and they basically work in sequence to intentionally kill every smaller guild on the scene. They very intentionally try to kill every single other guild that tries to rise up and do something. This would be like if Cho Nation, Digital, and Corrupt would all just drop on nodes to Pekko, like deliberately just, you don't get to play, and then they would just hand the node off. Okay, like that's why they killed their PvP scene. But overall, usually when they make changes to the game, Korea usually agrees with us. The problem that we have with the developers is like, yeah, we give them feedback. Korea gives them feedback. South America gives feedback. Even console gives feedback, and they just don't listen to anybody. They don't listen to the Koreans. They don't listen to us. They don't listen to anybody. And I think that if they try to upkeep two different patches, you're just going to create more problems for ourselves because, like, again, then they're just not going to update. I think the updates would get longer and further and further apart. And I do think that I think the game would just suffer overall. I think that what they need to do is just listen to the player base. Like, worldwide, we're pretty unanimous on certain issues. Obviously, not everything. But certain issues, we are pretty unanimous on this across the board. Like the Cronstone issue is a perfect example. One-sided decks, Korea didn't necessarily want that either. They were like, what the hell? They didn't even necessarily have a problem with one-sided decks. We were the ones that had the, quote, problem with one-sided decks. They did it for streamers. After all, if you remember correctly, it's because all those Lost Ark streamers came over and then they ended up all quitting because they were being, quote, hunted. Close quote. And like, that's...
Ooh, why won't PA listen then? Why won't they listen?
Because this is how the company is. And then this is why I'm not a BDO partner anymore, by the way. I'm like, this is why I'm like the fucking black sheep of the community, is because I put my foot down and I scream at them about these issues that they refuse to listen to the community on basically all the time. They think that they care very deeply about their game. And believe it or not, they do play their game. But they don't play the parts of their game that they're changing stuff for. So they don't do PvP. The developers are not PvPers. yet they keep trying to make and change PvP systems. This means the changes are going to be dog shit. And they think that the changes in their head, they're like, we know what's best for our game. It's like an ego thing. It's like, oh, they're complaining, but they don't know what's best. We know what's best, so we're going to take the bullet for them, and we're going to change it anyway. It's like that martyrdom. Like, oh, no, we know what's best for our game. So they hear the feedback, and then they just say, okay, they don't actually want that. Do you remember when World of Warcraft had that iconic conference where a person stood up in the audience and said, hey, do you think that you would consider making World of Warcraft classic? Exactly. Yep. Do you think that you should make World of Warcraft? Yeah, would you make World of Warcraft classic? And I quote, the game director goes, you think you want that, but you don't. You don't want that. We know that you don't want that. And they refuse to give it to them for years. That is our developer's opinion on everything. They hear feedback, and one of two things happens. Either one, they're like, you know, at base, that's kind of a good idea. But in order to satisfy their ego, they have to change it in some way. So we're like, we want A. And they're like, okay, here's C. You know, so like they change the thing, but not the way that we wanted them to. Right? Like it's extremely frustrating. Or the other thing is, no, they don't actually want that. That forgive them, Lord. They know not what they ask kind of situation. Like that is legitimately my opinion. Example, hardcore server. True. Hardcore servers are my example for like how the developers hear feedback, because they 100% heard worldwide. Koreans thought this too. Everybody gave the unanimous feedback across the board that we wanted all the classes to be played on the hardcore servers. And they said, no, 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 you don't. We know what's best for you. And then they just refused to acknowledge it or do anything about it. So like, I know that you guys disagree with me on this, which is why, but now let's give you guys time to talk. Corgi, why do you disagree with me on this? Why do you think that the patches should be separated?
Oh,
I assume that's what you think.
I don't know. I just thought that that Koreans didn't want the one-sided decks because the only person asked what their thoughts were Hugh Hotbar, because he's the only Korean streamer I know of.
Oh, okay. So go watch the old United Nations podcast while all that shit was going on. All of us were on the same. The whole world was all like, dude, what the hell is going on? Like why are we getting all these changes? Hey, Yambyam is a great example he's actually does PvP in Korea. He's a good, like he does. I can send you his information if you want to see. But if you go back and watch the UN podcast, that's Korea's usually. I mean, I could hold another UN podcast. The problem is, and this is going to sound really sad and like sadage, but there's just not as many streamers playing the game anymore, so it's very difficult to get streamers to represent each region now. Like I don't have South America. Who's going to play from South America now? Who's SEA? Very few streamers from SEA. And then getting everybody to line up. It's going to be hard to find a translator.
Console players, you know, where are they at?
Yeah, console who? Yeah. So Corgi's given his opinion. I've given my opinion, which I understand is the controversial take. Blonde, what's your take on it? Hold on, I have to retype it out. Because we're not talking about urgency and progression anymore. We're talking about separating
patches. Updates.
Yeah. Updates.
I understand that your perspective from the other pod kind of the United Nations kind of gives you a different perspective. I think that it's just that the players have always felt the sentiment from Korea is different. So like the perspective is, yeah, we should definitely separate it. Cause if they think that, you know, the Koreans need a certain culture and then we need a certain culture, then separate it. But I mean, I agree. I think that it's like, why isn't PA listening if everybody's saying the same thing? But if it were to get us good updates, then like, I mean, I'd be all for separating it if it meant that we were going to get something, just a difference between the current shift of meta. It's just frustrating, but okay. I think that, like you said, it's pride. They're going to do whatever they want to do. It doesn't matter. And we're fricked either way.
Yeah. Jay, it's time for you to go ahead and sit on your fence. So do you think that they should separate patches by region, or do you think that that's not a good idea?
I feel like they already did something similar to that, didn't they, with like Nodeware stuff? Because I think that we have the construction Nodeware option, but I don't think Korea has that, no? Or like... was it?
Yes, that is correct. So Balanos Siege was like that.
They don't have Balanos either. Yeah,
we asked for Serendia Siege.
There's a little bit of that happening already.
Yeah, we asked for Serendia Siege. They gave us Balanos because they're idiots. And then we asked for the old Node War system back, and they said, okay, you can have it back, but now it's only 1 hour. So, like, yes, that is the only difference, I think, between NA and Korea at the moment are those, that and maybe, like, a couple mile other things. You still haven't given your take on it.
I mean, I'm not too sure on this. I don't know what the right answer is for this kind of situation. So I'm
Jay, there isn't a right answer. It's your opinion.
Yeah, it's your it's opinion, my opinion, Jay. Okay. Just don't be afraid. What do you feel?
Yes or no? Separate
well,
or no?
I like MapleStory. So I'm going to go with Corgi on this one because I like MapleStory there. Bro. You're gonna be playing MapleStory Classic, Corgi.
Stop talking about MapleStory. No one.
Yeah,
cares.
Talk about RuneScape, bro. Come on.
But yeah, RuneScape. Let's talk RuneScape.
Bro, first of all, how can you even play MapleStory? Nexon is literally robbing you.
What?
If you spend money on that shit game, they literally lower your RNG in getting like the items that you want. But if you spend less money on the game, you'll have better RNG. Like, how can you even put your faith in a company that would do that to you? What are we even MapleStory? That game is for idiots, bro. Stupid people play that game.
Monka.
How could you possibly want to play that goddamn game?
Memories.
You're killing me. Also, the topic was not on MapleStory.
You've never had a MapleStory girlfriend?
Bro, no. Jay, you dodge questions better than Donald Trump. This is crazy.
Oh, damn. It's all that evasion. Damn.
What goddamn evasion gear? Okay. All right. Screw it. Now we're going to do closing thoughts. Okay.
Oh, now we're going to close our thoughts.
Yeah, now we're going to close our thoughts. So we're going to do blonde first now. Again, let's try again. Okay, good.
All right. My closing thoughts are, we'll see, buddy. We'll see. You know, I hope you guys are very happy with the changes and the balances. And,
Jesus.
You know, we're getting there on the game. But, you know, I mean, you know, we'll see. You know, stuff's changing. Things are happening. Updates are coming. It's, you know, crazy game.
Okay, Jesus, why is you... Bro, if I go back two podcasts right now, tell me that your answer is not exactly the same. Tell me, he's just smiling, that shit-eating grin. Cookie blonde. Jay,
same shirt. Same shirt as well.
Okay, fuck you. You know what? We're actually all wearing the same shirt, so you can't even get mad. You can't even get mad.
Oh my god, we got the memo today.
All right, Jay, give me your closing thoughts.
Closing thoughts. Right. I needed to close my thoughts. Okay, so closing thoughts is that I'm patiently waiting for Hyde Ball this year. And also, please check out my voice acting competition video, Tales of the Avengers, on my YouTube channel. And while we wait for Hyde Ball, you can find me over at twitch.tv /JakenVTV before the T.
Right on. And my boy, Canadian Corgi. Corgi, I want to say thanks for coming on to the podcast. I think you're a well-spoken man of
few
words.
Thank you for tolerating
us. Yeah. Well-spoken man of few words thrown into a room with a bunch of yappers. And I love how concise you are. And for anybody that doesn't know, Corgi, again, is one of the very best Awakening Valkyrie, at least in North America, that we have currently. He's also the GM of Pekko, which join Pekko. It's a lot of fun. It's a super fun guild. They have great anime waifus in that guild, if I remember correctly, if it's anything like what it was before. Corgi, you want to give us a... Thanks for coming on the podcast, buddy. I appreciate you. What closing thoughts do you have for us here?
Thanks for having me, first off. Can I ask you a question real quick, Blue, before I give my closing thoughts?
Of course. Go nuts.
Are you ever going to be reinterested in starting up your Node War guild again?
That is a question that a lot of people have been asking me lately. I will give you...
I see you playing BDO a lot more recently,
yeah.
So...
I know, yeah, and the reason actually is, in a roundabout way, it actually is for that reason, but not for the reason... Okay, so I'm going to give you the shortest answer that I can. I'll be talking for the next 15 minutes, okay, but like straight up. Okay, so a lot of people have asked me, are you going to come back to large-scale PvP? And the answer is, if the developers fix their game, fix their large scale PvP, particularly Node Wars. Node Wars. I can make Siege work. I'll be honest with you. As long as they don't completely screw up Balanos Siege, we make that shit work. It'll be fine. It's Node Wars that I think are tremendously bad at the moment. And I think that if the developers come out at the Heidel Ball, they re-extend Node Wars to 2 hours, make a couple adjustments, and then show us that the new Adani expansion is going to have plausible, reasonable open world PvP. Yes, the plan would be to return to large scale PvP. And the reason with my guild, but my guild would be different this time. The reason I've been playing the game so actively lately is because I only have one guild shell. The other one was stolen from me. If you remember back in the day, that was dismantled. It's now in the hands of other people. And it is what it is. It's gone now. It's gone now. So in order to make a full guild of 150 people that can do Node Wars, you have to have a second shell of full Node War, of everything. You don't have to have the Node War buffs, but you do need to have all the other buffs, right? So the shell needs to be filled out. And so I went to work a few weeks ago on basically building this new reconstructed guild that is attached to Reassembled, which is the main guild. And if they bring back PvP in the game, my plan, and this is going to sound extremely unorthodox, is to make it, rebrand it all to the PvP Academy. And the entire point of the PvP Academy is you're only allowed to be in the guild for a maximum of 3 weeks. Maximum 3 weeks. And the entire point would be to boot camp people on how to play PvP, like all forms of PvP and BDO. So GV, accept all decks. There are no home servers. It's just Arsha. You never take regions pretty much for any reason, because the entire point would be to get to train people to large scale PvP in like a competent, reasonable way so that they understand what's important, train them how to play their class, and then ship them off to another PvP guild. Is the plan. So like Pekko, like Statistic, like Highfall, like all of those other guilds that are fighting the good fight right now. But like, again, and then some of them might go off. The idea would be that some of them would go off and make their own guilds, and I could help them start up their own guilds and stuff too on that. And again, the idea would be to shuttle hundreds and hundreds of players through the guild as quickly as I can and teach them how to do PvP. And then basically it would be an environment where we're always doing VOD reviews. I can also do the VOD reviews on stream so I can make them content too, where everybody else can kind of see what's going on as well. We would divide the guilds up into four teams, kind of like Harry Potter's houses, where we'd have like the green team, the blue team, the red team, and the yellow team. And we all have them competing against each other. So when you get brought into the guild, you would have, you would get assigned to a team. And then every time you participate in PvP activities, whether it be showing up to a GVG, going to the Battle Arena and training, Red Battlefield, AOS, large-scale PvP of any kind, that kind of thing, you earn points for your team. Winning team at the end of time gets to, you know, tell me to do whatever the fuck you want me to do on stream. Whatever. You know, like make up an arbitrary thing. Yeah, 10 points to Gryffindor, that kind of thing, right? Again, all in an effort to basically train people in a boot camp style. People are saying, there's 3 weeks isn't long enough to teach people PvP. Watch me. I've done it before. You think I haven't done it in Reconstructed and Dismantled? That's all we did. We trained our own core. We trained our own players. That's how we did it. And it worked extremely well. This time, though, the goal would not be to try to be a strong PvP guild. We're going to be dog shit. The guild's purpose is not to be strong. The guild's purpose is to train players like the next generation of PvPers in the game and get people excited about doing PvP in the game and then throttle the scene in North America with thousands of potentially thousands, but at least hundreds of PvP players that would help rejuvenate the PvP scene. So the long answer to your question is that. The short answer is, well, yes, but only if the caveat is only I'm not lifting a finger unless they fix Node Wars. I refuse to get back involved, mainly because of my platform. I don't want the developers looking at me and being like, well, he's still doing Node Wars, so they must be good. F*** you. You screwed up our PvP scene. You screwed up our open world PvP. You screwed up our fucking large scale PvP. You screwed up everything. I am not going to support them in any way for their PvP until they fix it. If they fix it, I will build it. And they will come. Many times. But, you know, that's beside the point. But yeah, that's the roundabout answer there. Yes, Pekko would sit there and farm us on repeat, but I think that you guys would enjoy it. I think that if Pekko pulled 15 people to a GVG and we pulled 80, you guys would have the time of your life farming the shit out of our new players, but we would also have fun. So yeah, I think it'll be fun for everybody if it happens. Okay, hold on. Did we get closing thoughts from everybody else? We did. Okay. All right, so it's my turn now. Okay, so I'm just going to keep yapping. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, guys. Favorite person in the audience today for fashion? Jay has not been paying attention.
Hi, yes, I have. Hold on, I'm here. Do you see me moving?
On why?
It's my witch.
Why am I? Oh, it's because I'm in slow mo. Hold on, I have to turn off slow mo. Okay, now I have to lean against the wall.
I was looking for Garnier's cake.
Stop.
Can't find him.
Stop it. You're not going to give Garnier the winning. I know who the winning person is this time. It's this person right here. Their family name, Princess Kate. Bro, I don't know what it is about this outfit. They've got it going on. The dye and everything, it's hitting. I think this outfit hits hard. And normally I don't like the academia style outfits, but I think that this one is actually really good with the watch and stuff and then the sneakers from the new outfit.
Yeah.
I think that's awesome. Jay wants to eat out Garnier's ass. Blonde, what's your favorite outfit here?
There's a golden person on the left. I like the gold one.
Golden person on the left.
The Valkyrie from Craziel? The Valkyrie?
The Guardian?
Oh. Oh, the other yellow one.
Oh, no. Yeah, Valkyries. Idiots. Oh, you mean the DK?
Yeah.
You mean the DK with the ballistic missiles?
I like ballistic missiles.
Bitch has got beach balls attached to her chest. Like, that's literally insane.
Jesus.
Okay. All right, Corgi.
It's a cool outfit.
Corgi, what's your favorite outfit? Sword. Corgi, what's your favorite outfit? Yeah.
I really, really like the summer one they released last year.
Okay, that Bodica? You mean the Badaka outfit? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Shameless. Oh my god. I like when my character's just naked. Holy base, that's crazy. Okay. All right. Okay, guys, comment down below and like the video. Guys, you've been watching it for an hour and a half. Like the video. We love you guys. Comment down below who you guys want to see on the next podcast. I want to see a lot of love for Corgi. You, of course, can hate on the rest of us, but love for Corgi. We'll have his stuff in the description as well, so you can go follow him over on Twitter. Twitch. Corgi, we would love to see an Awakening Valkyrie guide. Eddie, please make an updated Awakening Valkyrie guide. Please. I know that you're scared because it would be you're scared because Amu made one and for you. You need to make one. It would be amazing. Please just make an in-depth Awakening Valkyrie guide. Okay, that being said, all of his stuff will be in the description. Remember, guys, we are on Spotify and Apple Podcasts too, so if you want to listen to us in the car, that's the whole point of this. You want to hear BDO content while you're at work with your headphones in, that's what we're all about. Just make sure you hit that follow button. Comment on the video on YouTube. From all of us here at the Old Moon Podcast, have a great rest of your week.